that your storm will ever end. Boy, I know the one that'll walk with you. I don't know if what you're facing will ever cease. But I know the one who is ceaseless. I know the rock of ages. I know the Alpha and the Omega. I know the beginning and the end. I know the one that started it all. And I know the one that's going to finish it all. And I know that he'll go with you always, even until the end of the world. You know, the Bible tells us in the book of Genesis that while the earth remains, that there's going to be seed time and harvest. That the sun's going to rise and it's going to set. We're going to see the moon and we're going to not see the moon during the day. We know all of the things are going to continue because God keeps them going. And I want you to know that no matter what you're going through, no matter what storm or what battle or what difficulty you're in, there is a God in heaven who controls everything. Amen. And he hasn't forgotten about you. I look around this room and I think about that storm, that song that they just sung. And see, I know you. I know your personal storms that you're walking through. So if the preacher gets a little overcome by emotion, then you'll just have to deal with it. We have a God who's willing to help you. We have a God who's willing to help you in whatever your storm is. Preacher, you don't know what I'm dealing with. Oh, but I do. I do. You don't understand. Oh, maybe I do a little bit better than what you think. Maybe I have a little bit better idea. I want you to know that God loves you. We shouldn't. Maybe we do need to say it. We tell people all the time, Jesus loves you. But church, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Brother Josh, you don't know what I did this weekend. It doesn't matter. Jesus loves you. Preacher, I'm not worthy to be here. And I got so much anger towards somebody or toward God. That's okay. Jesus loves you. Did you hear me? Jesus loves you. Preacher, I'm struggling right now. Preacher, I'm dealing with something that I've never had to deal with before. Jesus loves you and gave his only begotten son for you so that you could have the peace that passes all understanding. So that you can have joy beyond comprehension. How is it that a Christian can stand in the face of a great storm and have joy in their heart and in their life? It baffles the world, but to the child of God, it is a guaranteed benefit for serving him and knowing him as Lord and Savior. Glory to God. Glory to God. Psalm 1, yes ma'am, help yourself. What about that?
And she's physically handicapped and can't get into church.
Amen.
That was a blessing to us.
Amen.
And my son, unfortunately, is not in church. He was raised in church and was saved and baptized, but they come occasionally. And Crystal wanted to pray for my son.
Amen.
Before he left, after he helped her. And the only thing that she said is, Jesus, I pray that David, that they call him DK, Jesus, I pray that DK goes to heaven.
What about that?
That was a blessing to me.
Yeah.
When we were trying to be a blessing to them, they wind up being a blessing to us.
Amen.
And then, like you said, this is one of the hardest things that I've ever had to do in my whole entire life. We had to make a decision to take my mom off the ventilator. But one thing that we kept as a promise to my mom, and she told me this when I was about 8 years old, that she never, ever wanted to die alone. I have a younger sister that hasn't seen my mom in 2 years because of disagreements.
Mm-hmm.
But we were all there when my mom passed.
Amen.
And God gave her passing, or I guess dying grace. She took 3 breaths, and then she was gone. I know where my mom's at. She's told me that she's saved. Brad's just plain out asked her one time, and she did. She told him that she was saved, and she knew she was going to heaven. And I know where she's at. As a Christian, I know where she's at, and I know how we're supposed to know that we're going to meet them one day. But as her daughter, flesh and bone, it's hard. It's hard. But I do really, I know Brother Josh read the card that we sent, but I really want to thank every single person that reached out to us.
Amen.
That was such a blessing, and I don't know how people can go through something like this and not have a church family.
Amen.
I think I would be a lot worse if I didn't have my church family. But I want to thank everyone from the bottom of my heart that how y'all stood with us and prayed with us, and we have felt the prayers.
Amen.
Sorry I took up time.
Okay. Turn with me to Psalms 100. This is a very familiar passage, as many of you know, and I woke up this morning with this passage on my mind, and I like when the Lord allows me liberty to preach what He wakes me up with. The Bible says, make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is God. It is He that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are His people, and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving, and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him, and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is... Can I read that again? For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. I got to do it one more time. I got to hear it one more time. For the Lord is good. You know what, church? I tell you what, how about out loud y'all read that with me? Just verse number 5. Wait a minute, preacher. We ain't never done this before. Okay, get ready for a new thing. Read that with me out loud. Verse number 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endureth to all generations. Wow. Heavenly Father, please bless the reading of Your Word. Use it, Lord, for Your honor and for Your glory. Help us, Lord. Give me the wisdom that I stand in need of. give me, Lord, the intelligence that I need to preach. Lord, what you've laid on my heart, recall to my mind what you've allowed me to study and what you've given to me. Thank you so much, Lord, for moving in my heart. I'm unworthy. I don't deserve it. God, I pray that you'll help. In Jesus' name, amen. The matter of praise and what motivates us to praise is very important. We need to know what and who God is in Himself, and we need to know what He is to us. See, what you think of God will determine whether or not you will praise Him. Your thoughts of the Lord, see, His thoughts are always towards us, but our thoughts are not always toward Him. And what we think of God in whatever moment of our life will determine whether or not we will praise Him. Now, this psalm gives us 7 reasons to worship the Lord. With His help, I want to look at all 7 of them this morning. Don't worry, they'll still have tacos. Amen. You won't find a restaurant. You might find one that runs out of food, but you can go to another one. This Psalms gives us 7 reasons to worship the Lord. And it does this in verses 3 and 5. And of course, there are the other wonderful verses of this passage of Scripture there. But about this passage of Scripture, Matthew Henry, a commentator from yesteryear, know it, consider and apply it, and then you will be more close and constant, more inward and serious of your worship of Him. Make a joyful noise unto the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know ye that the Lord, He is our God. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful unto Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting and His truth endureth to all generations. What is the first thing that I would like to look at this morning, or the first thing that I would like to look at, is Psalms 100 and verse number 3. I want to point out to you that the Lord, He is God. Do you understand that about Him? The Lord God Jehovah, He is God. And He is God alone. Amen? And so the psalmist tells us here that we, as children of God, need to know that the Lord is God. We are not God. You are not God. I am not God. There is one God. The devil is not God. The demonic forces of the world, they are not God. Society is not God. The idols that people worship, they are not God. The human body that is often worshiped is not God. Amen? Even though it was created in the image of God, it is not God. God is God alone. The only living and true God. He is a being that is infinitely perfect, self-existent, and self-sufficient. He is the fountain and the foundation of all existence. You think about all that you are and the complexities of who you are and your life, not only the internal complexities of your mind and of your heart and your emotional state, but the complexities of your physical body. And all of that stems from and springs from God who created you. Know ye that the Lord is God. Deuteronomy 4 and verse number 39, the Bible says, know therefore this day, and consider it in thine heart, that the Lord, He is God in heaven above, and upon the earth beneath, there is none else. There's no other God. I don't care what the Greeks and the Romans teach. I'm glad that I'm not serving a mythological God. Amen? And I am not worried about the God of this world. Now, I'm not talking about the Lord. I'm talking about the prince of this earth, the devil, his demonic self. That's what I'm talking about him. Dear friend of mine, he does not have the power of God because he is not God. There is not a demon in hell that can touch a child of God without the Lord's permission. Some of y'all give the devil too much credit. Trying to say that the devil made me do it. He didn't make you do nothing. He might have dangled it in front of you, but you chose of your own lust. It's the difference between knowing the Lord as God and knowing that your own lust is God in your life. We as children of God have the Lord God, and we should know that He is God. 1 Kings chapter number 18 tells us that blessed old story about Elijah. And Elijah walks onto the pages of the Bible, into the pages of history, and one day I believe we'll see him again, and thank God for that. But, oh, Elijah meets up with that old wicked king, and that old wicked king and his wife Jezebel, they had some people that done their bidding, 450 prophets, and they said, well, we're going to see which God is God, and which one is God, and which one ain't God. And so, oh, Elijah let them have their challenge. And so they went up there, and these 450 men, prophets of Baal, began to cut themselves trying to get the attention of God, of their God, trying to, y'all all right? You hearing me? They went crazy. They went to acting a fool trying to get the attention of God. And, oh, Elijah standing off to the side, and he said, hey, maybe your God's asleep. Yeah. I never had to cut myself to get God's attention. I never had to crawl around on my knees to get God's attention. It goes something like this. Lord, we need to know that the Lord, He is God. 1 Kings 18. I guess I need to read it. That way I'll stay on track here. Oh, Elijah said maybe he's sleeping. And then he looked at them after they cut themselves a little bit more and did more damage to their body. And all of this ungodliness that they were doing and the wickedness that was transpiring there. And he said, hey, maybe he's on a journey. I'm glad to report to you that the Lord God Jehovah has never left me. He'll never leave me nor forsake me. He'll never go on a journey and be too busy to tend to my needs. Glory to His name. And oh, Elijah tells Baal's prophets, let's look here, verse number 36 through 39. And it came to pass at the time of the offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that Thou art God in Israel, and that I am Thy servant, and that I have done all these things at Thy word. Hear me, O Lord, hear me, that this people may know that Thou art the Lord God, and that Thou hast turned their heart back again. Then the fire of the Lord fell and consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust and licked up the water that was in the trench. And when all the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said, the Lord, He is God. The Lord, He is God. We have a lot of people with a lot of boastful spirits right now. I'm not talking about people outside the church. I'm talking about people inside the church that wonder whether or not God can move, wonder whether or not God can do something. I'm glad to report to you that God is still on His throne. What we need is some people with the attitude of Elijah that will say, I'll just believe that God will take care of this situation too. Amen. I ain't talking about no goofy funny business. I'm talking about just some Christians that'll say, I'm going to believe that the Lord, He is God. Did you know that God don't have to do miraculous things like make fire fall from heaven for you to know who He is? I said that there ought to be some Christians with the attitude of Elijah, not the experiences of Elijah. So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. See, we want to be the miracle workers. Lord, if I call fire down from heaven, then everybody will come to my church and believe me. You better be careful. We ain't got to have the experiences. You know why we don't have to have the experiences? Because we have the Word of God, the unadulterated truth, God's written, recorded Word. By faith, the elders obtained a good report. And without faith, it is impossible to please God. Thank the Lord, we don't have to see the miracles of the Bible to know that the Lord, He is God. Y'all still with me, ain't you? It's a little warm in here. Can I do something I rarely ever do? I'm going to pull my coat off. My, he's been here 8 years. I can count the second time he's done that. White shirt, black microphone and all. Here we roll. Amen. The Lord, He is God. The Bible says another thing about the Lord in Psalm 100 and verse number 3. Tells us that He is our Creator. The Bible goes on to say, it is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. It is He that hath made us and not we ourselves. Y'all don't mind if I roll my sleeves up too, do you? They're getting in my way. Oh my. I ain't going to take off my shirt. You ain't got to worry about that. Not going to have to worry about that ever. It is He that made us and not we ourselves. Prove that, preacher. Be glad to. Genesis chapter number 1, verses 26 and 27. And God said, let us make man in our image. Now, a lot of people get confused and they get boastful and they say, well, who's that us? God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. John chapter number 1 tells us, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. John 1 and 14 says, and we beheld His glory. The glory is of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. When Jesus came to earth, back at the beginning, the Word of God was there. Jesus is the incarnate Word of God. Let us create man in our image. Let us make man in our image after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him, male and female. Let me read that one again. So God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He him. He him. Male and female created He them. Psalm 95 verse number 6. Oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Psalm 119 and verse number 73 says, Thy hands have made me and fashioned me. Give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. Psalm 139 and verse number 14 says, I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well. Now God created you in His own image. We didn't create ourselves. So when I go in front of the mirror and I begin to pick apart everything wrong with me, who am I really picking apart the image of? Oh my. I see every imperfection, every flaw, every gray hair that wasn't there. Amen? Everything that I don't like about me, I see it. And I amplify it. But my Bible tells me that I am created in the image of God. That He made me in His own image. So when I look in that mirror and I begin to critique and criticize everything that God made me, who am I really criticizing? Y'all have heard me say this before. To criticize the painting is to criticize the painter. We are created in the image of God, and when children of God do not accept that God has made us in His image, we fly in the face of God. And here's something that you're probably going to start amening me on, because that hit a little closer to home. But all of this business where people are wanting to change their biological makeup, which, by the way, you cannot change. But they want to fashion themselves to have a body of the opposite sex, and they want to do so through surgical procedures. Listen, church, there is nothing that flies in the face of God more than when we tell Him that He did not make us correctly. Whether it be for that operation or whether it be because we just don't like how we look. Did you know that could change day to day? Some days I like how I look. Sometimes that camera on Snapchat makes me look good. But in other days I turn that camera toward myself and I think, who in the world could love such an ugly, goofy looking rascal? And then I think about Miss Tara and I pray for her. We've been created in the image of God, and so the psalmist tells us, oh, come and let us worship and let us bow down before Him because He's our Maker. He tells us that His hands have made me and fashioned me and give me understanding that I may learn Thy commandments. Okay, Lord, I might not have the best looking thing that You ever created, or at least I don't think so, but here I am. Use me, Lord. I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works. You think about your body that God has given to you and the complexities of it. Earlier this week, I hit my thumb with a hammer, and I got the nice little purple bruise there. It hurt. I pulled it back. You know, you got to shake it. I don't know why you got to shake it. It's just what you... I don't think there's any scientific reason for that, but should have got my thumb out of the way. But immediately, because of the little bruise there, immediately my body began to heal itself. I mean, immediately my reaction was, man. And immediately my body began to minister to itself and to take care of itself and to help its trauma. Immediately my blood, because of the bruise, my blood began to clot. Immediately. God has created me to do that. God has created you to do that. God has created you in His own image. He is our Creator. Number three, we're moving right along. It's 12:04. He's our rightful owner. He is our rightful owner. The latter part of verse number three says we are His people. His people. John 10:14-16 says, I am the good shepherd and know my sheep and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. That's the Gentiles, praise the Lord. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. That's the Lord. 1 Peter 2 verses 9 and 10 says, but ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, and holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light, which in time past were not a people, but are now the people of God, which had not obtained mercy, but now have obtained mercy. I believe it's in 1 Corinthians 6. I didn't mark this, and I don't have it in my notes, but I'm going to try and find it real quick. What? 1 Corinthians 6:19. What? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? for ye are bought with a price. That's why you can't do just anything you want to do with your body. If you're a Christian, you're a child of God, you don't own you. God owns you. God owns you. That transaction that took place between you and Him, when you trusted Him as Lord and Savior, you declared that you no longer belong to you. You now belong to Him. And so because you belong to Him, you are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now let me say this, I like to clarify this every time I say it because I believe there are people that would misconstrue this. That word God's, which are God's, it is G-O-D, capital G-O-D, apostrophe S, not G-O-D-S, and there are multiple gods, but there is one God. That apostrophe and that S on the end denotes ownership. That means that God owns us. So your body and your spirit, which are God's, not that your body and spirit is a God, but that your body and spirit belongs to the one true God. He is our rightful owner. He's our sovereign ruler. You're the sheep of His pasture. John chapter 10, verses 24 through 30, then came the Jews round about Him and said unto Him, how long dost thou make us to doubt? If thou be the Christ, tell us plainly. Jesus answered them, I told you, and ye believe not. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness of me. But ye believe not, because ye are not of my sheep. I said unto you, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father which gave them me is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. I and my Father are one. Do you know, when you have a farm, cattle farm or sheep or something that you grow in agriculture, you tag them now or you brand them so that can't just any old cowboy come along and take your livestock. That's what that's for. That's why you see them ear tags on them little cows, and why when a new calf is born, they get down there and they tag them real quick, because if somebody else lives around you, they're liable to come along and put their tag on them, and that means that that's their cow now. They've got ownership of it. Even though it came from your cow, even though she birthed it could be theirs. You're tagged. You're tagged. And we are sheep of His pasture. Now see, in those days, they didn't have the tag, but the sheep knew the voice. And so they wouldn't follow nobody else. They wouldn't just wander off to another fold. They might wander off and go find themselves in a ditch. They might wander off and go find themselves at another farm where they weren't getting the right care under a different shepherd. But they always knew the true shepherd's voice. And so they would listen to His voice. His Father, He says, that gave them me is greater than all. No man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hands. There may be times where I wander out into a ditch, but I won't forget the Father's voice. I won't forget the brand that has been put on me. I won't forget the marks. Paul said, I bear in my body the marks of the Lord Jesus Christ. I believe in the book of Galatians, there were marks. Now, I believe they came from the beatings that the Apostle Paul took. But as a child of God, there is a spiritual mark, a spiritual tag that has been placed on you. And you belong to Him. And if you'll listen, you'll hear His voice. He is our sovereign ruler. And you'll do what He says, either that or He'll come get you. Oh, I got to expound on that now. What do you mean by coming and getting me? When that sheep wanders off, that shepherd has two tools. The crook, the shepherd's crook that you're used to seeing, and the staff. Now, the staff was something like a baseball bat, maybe an elongated baseball bat, had a thin end on one end, had a broad end on the other end. That's why the Bible says, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thy rod and thy staff, because that rod, that shepherd's crook, that was used if the sheep got down in the ditch, he could take that thing and turn it upside down, run it down in there, pull that little sheep up out of the ditch, put him up on his shoulders, and if that little sheep run off again, he would do something unique with that shepherd's crook. He would take that thing, put it down in there, and before he picked him up, he would break that little sheep's leg. And he'd pick him up and set him on his shoulders and carry him back to the fold and bandage up his leg. And after that second time, usually the sheep learned not to run off. So what about the staff, preacher? Well, see, that was used not against the sheep, but against the wolves. And most of those shepherds were dead eyes with that thing. And they would throw it like a javelin. And should a wolf or a coyote or some kind of predatorial animal come up trying to get them sheep, that shepherd would launch that thing with the broad end and knock that creature away, and sometimes it would even kill the predator. And so David said, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. He might come get you, and he might break your leg to get you back. Y'all okay? We don't like that. We like the kumbaya. We like the fireside chants. Lovey-dovey. Sometimes we have to see the break your leg to get you back where you need to be, God. We don't like that, but He will. The Lord will cripple us. It might not be a physical broken leg, but there might be a crippling thing. Event in your life, whether it's spiritually crippling or whether it's emotionally crippling, God will bring you to where He wants you to be as your good shepherd. He loves you enough to not let you continue out in that mess that you're in. He is our bountiful benefactor. It was 12:04 a few minutes ago. It's 12:13 now. 9 minutes. I just gave y'all 3 points. We're moving at an exceptionally fast rate. Light speed for preaching, amen? He is our bountiful benefactor. Verse number 5, the Bible says, for the Lord is, what's that word? Good. Psalm 52 in verse number 1, the Bible said, why boastest thou thyself in mischief, O mighty man? The goodness of God endureth continually. Jeremiah 33 and verse number 11, the voice of joy and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom and the voice of the bride, the voice of them that shall say, praise the Lord of hosts, for the Lord is good, for His mercy endureth forever. And of them that shall bring the sacrifice of praise into the house of the Lord, for I will cause to return the captivity of the land as at the first, saith the Lord. The Lord's good to those that bring that sacrifice of praise in. You might find that in the middle of that storm, in the middle of that difficult time, in the middle of that broken leg, if you just go ahead and say, Lord, I don't know what you're doing, but I want to thank you for what you're doing. Boy, you talk about difficult. You talk about hard to do. Praise Him in the difficult times. We don't like that. We want everything to be happy. We want everything to be good. We want everything to be glad and all joyful all the time and to be smiling all the time. But that's not life. And so even in the difficult times, the Lord is good. And He is a bountiful benefactor to you and I. Psalm 13:6 says, I will sing unto the Lord because He had dealt bountifully with me. How many of you can say that God's blessed you this morning? How many of you can say that God's done exceeding abundantly above all that you can ask or think? You woke up. I had a chance a couple Fridays ago, not last Friday, but the Friday before, and I got to go and speak to the Mount Zion Middle School FCA. And I thank the Lord that I had that opportunity. And I started out by telling those kids in there, as we were going around the room, I said, how many of you got to get up this morning
in a house that had heat and air conditioning. They, all over, they raised their hands and said, how many of you had some kind of breakfast this morning, whether it's from the school or whether it was from, you know, something that you ate at home? And just about every one of them in their hand, they might have been some that wasn't participating, but everybody that looked around, they raised their hand and said, how many of you have lights that turn on when you flip the light switch? And they raised their hand and just went through some basic things, said, how many of you can do this? Every one of them in the room took a deep breath, and I said, you're more blessed than what you know. You got more to be thankful for than what you understand. It is not that God has not blessed us, it's that we don't take time to look at how bountiful God has been to you and I. He's a great benefactor. Psalm 116 and verse number 7 echoes that. It says, return unto thy rest, O my soul, for the Lord hath dealt bountifully with thee. Y'all taking good notes. Number 6. I see you writing, and your wrist ain't even fell off yet. Another part of verse number 5 says, his mercy is everlasting. He is a God of infinite mercy and goodness. The Lord is good, therefore he does good. Speaking of Jesus in Mark chapter number 7, the Bible says he had done all things well. His mercy is a well that we can never run dry. Psalm 86 and verse number 5 said, for thou, Lord, art good and ready to forgive and plenteous in mercy unto all them that call upon thee. Psalm 106 verse 1 says, praise ye the Lord, O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Psalm 103 verse number 17 says, but the mercy of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon them that fear him, and his righteousness unto the children's children. Philippians 4:19 says, but my God shall supply all your need according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. It's not that God hadn't been good to you. It's that you've forgotten how good God's been to you. He is a God of faithfulness and truth. Number 7. See there? 7 points. Did I skip one? Praise the Lord, I'm fitting to go back and preach it. I might have missed it, and that'll be all right. That means I preach what the Lord wanted me to preach. Amen. Psalm 100 verse 5, and his truth endureth to all generations. Psalm 119 verses 90 and 91 says, thy faithfulness is unto all generations. Thou hast established the earth, and it abideth. Verse 91 said, they continue this day according to thine ordinances, for all are thy servants. Who's they? He's talking about there in verse number 91, Psalm 119. The earth and the generations of men. They continue, they abide even unto this day. 1 Corinthians 1:9 says, God is faithful, and by whom you were called unto the fellowship of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. I'm glad to report to you that he is a God of faithfulness and truth. You can rely on him. You can trust in him. He'll never leave you nor forsake you. He'll go with you always, even until the end of the world. Hallelujah. All right, I think I'm done. I'm going to be done anyway. Father, in Jesus' holy name, Lord, I love you, and I appreciate all that you've done. God, I pray that you would help. God, I pray that you would keep our church with you as the center and central focus. God, I pray that you would move in our church in great and mighty ways. Lord, help us to remember that you are God and that you are God alone. Help us, Lord, to trust in your faithfulness. Help us, Lord, not to trust in ourselves, but in You. Give us, Lord, Your wisdom. Give us Your grace. God, help. God, help. In Jesus' name. You stand with us this morning while we sing.